about my wife and her health and strength, and those that we've served as Wednesday heard a testimony of about when the doctor looked at her MRI and then wondered if she was the same person that was in the MRI, because he said people with MRIs like hers are usually confined to a wheelchair and not able to go up. But how many can say, but God? Come on, but God. God can make a way when there is no way. And we just bless the Lord. We thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand praise. Come on, give yourself a hand praise. Hallelujah. You could have been anywhere else. Hallelujah. But you took time out to serve the Lord. So we thank God for that this afternoon. Amen. Now, how many are still reading Proverbs? One proverb every day. Amen. One proverb every day, because Proverbs is the book of wisdom. But in the book of Proverbs, the scripture says, a warning cometh before destruction. Amen. Warning cometh before destruction. Amen. And we want to take heed to the word of God and what God is saying. Amen. I had this week and last week, I had two unusual circumstances that came about. And it happens early in the morning, and it's not necessary for you to know the details. But God opened my eyes to something that I wasn't even thinking about. And I did at least, I did communicate with the individuals that God showed me. But how many know it's up to us to make a decision? Life is all about decisions. Last week, we went over, does God know you? And do you know the Lord? And one of the pivotal scriptures was when God was calling Samuel. And Samuel kept going to a man when God was calling him. Because Samuel was not able to discern and perceive the voice of God. I wonder how many this afternoon, God has been speaking to us in our circumstances. God has been trying to order our steps. God has been trying to redirect. How many know some of us are going the wrong direction? We're not walking in the way that's pleasing to God. So how many, I wonder how many God is trying to redirect their steps, but they're continuing to go their own way. Every time God speaks, instead of saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, they keep running to other individuals to try to find out what God is saying to them. It's so important today that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God was saying to the church. So the scripture said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, Lord, keep me humble. Can we say greatest illustration? I don't know. God's taking me in a whole different way. Y'all want to pray with me? I want to try and give you what I gave her, but God's taking me in a different direction. Just stay with me. Apostle Paul was the greatest of all the apostles. The Bible said he had a revelation from God. He knew from God. He said, but whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I could not tell. He said, God called me up to the third heavens. That's the very abode of God. And he said, when God brought me there, he showed me things that were unlawful for a man to utter. But then he drops down in a few verses and he says that because of the abundance of the revelation, because of what God showed me spiritually, the Bible said it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Well, Paul, how did you equate this trouble that you were going through? He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. So when God blesses you spiritually, you have to be careful that you don't get exalted above measure. So as God is ordering and directing your steps, you got to stay in the will of God and direction that God wants you to go. Can we say praise the Lord? The scripture said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is for your life. Now, if I were to ask you a question today, what is the will? of God for your life. That if you're unwise, you're just walking your own way. You're walking your own steps. But how many want to be a good man and a good woman? I said, how many want to be a good man and a good woman? Where the scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And Lord, how do you order my steps? Order my steps through thy word. So God has been trying to redirect. God has been trying to realign. But how many know we can be stubborn? How many know we can be stubborn? All right, I can be stubborn. Right? I'll let y'all be all right. Y'all ain't stubborn. Stubborn is when God says one thing and you do the opposite. That's stubborn for those that didn't understand it. All right, that's stubborn. All right? So y'all with me now? So how many of us can be stubborn? Thank you. Because God is trying to lead us in a certain direction, but we refuse to surrender. And the Bible said if we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he would exalt us in due season or due time. Amen. Because pride goes before destruction. Hallelujah. Don't get so spiritually proud that you have arrived that you stop hearing from God. Every day we wake up, we should say, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. Because the devil is on the warpath. In Revelation 12, chapter, it says he realized that his days are a number. Therefore, he's coming against the church with all of his wrath. He knows that his days are set. He knows his destination, his final place is set, because he is the son of perdition. That means he don't have a chance to go to heaven if he could. But he knows his days are short. So you know what his desire is? To take every last one of us with him. So the message that we're going to deal with today, I gave you a part of it, is we want to resist the temptation of the spiritual pilferer. Right? He's a spiritual pilferer. Not pills. Pilferer. Right, now I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to give you the meaning, but you can write this down if you want to. Pilferer is P-I-L-F-E-R-E-R. Pilferer. You know what the pilferer does? He won't do everything all at once. He does it little by little. He does it in a stealthy way. He does it in a way that you are being manipulated. You are being controlled and you don't even realize it. Right, let me give you an example of a pilferer. If you had $10,000 in $1 bills, right, y'all with me? And you put those $10,000 in a safe place, if somebody went every day and took away $1, would you notice it?
No.
$10,000 right? No. You would not notice it, right? But after about 5,000 trips to your bank vault, and you look in there and you say, wait a minute, something is happening. Because my money is disappearing little by little. Well, that's what the devil, who's the spiritual pilferer, does. He does it little by little. So in the beginning, I'm glad to be in church. Glad to be in the service. One more time. But then I get a trial or a test that comes out of nowhere, and next time I don't really feel like going to church. That's the spiritual pilfer. Because it realized, hallelujah, the Bible said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And the psalmist said, feed me with food that is convenient. So the devil said, I'm going to keep you out of church, and you're going to miss a meal. How many know that you miss so many meals? And this is in the natural, y'all can make this easy, right? What happens you don't eat after a while? Right? You get famished and you get weak. Because you haven't eaten in a while. And the things that you used to do when you had full strength, when you go do it now, you're weak. So you can't resist. You can't put forth the effort. So the devil say, you know what I'm gonna do? You won't make this equation, but I'm gonna make you stay home today. You got a headache? When church is over, the headache is gone. You got a stomachache? Y'all with me? Y'all ain't gonna be able to stay in here. But when church is over, the stomachache is gone. I had a migraine headache. the spiritual pilfer, little by little. So then after I missed once or twice, I said, well, that wasn't so bad. So now I'm gonna miss more. So the more I miss, the more I'm getting weak spiritually.
And when you're in the fog, you don't know what's going on. And Facebook because you love. I don't go on Facebook. You send a text to somebody and it ought to be your private business. You're being low to sleep. Then all of a sudden you're thinking things that you used to think before you got saved. How did that happen? The devil. The spiritual gift has been breaking you down. Church. Why did you go to church? Why did I go to church and pray at home? I can pray at home. Well, if that's the case, why did they have prayer meetings in the Bible? When the Bible said when they threatened the apostles, they got together and they prayed and the place was when you're at home, that place won't be shaken. So the devil said, you can sit here. You got money, bread. You got more stuff, money, whatever. You don't got a little bread. Don't let them put you to sleep. Right. So now y'all left it. Now let's go to the Bible. Amen. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. So now we know what a pilferer does, right? He steals it little by little. And you don't even recognize it. Amen. It's like a story that I once knew. There was a pretty intelligent person, and then there was a person that was not as intelligent. So the person said, you know what? I'm going to sell you these 100 items for $1,000. The person said, no, I'm not paying $1,000. So the intelligent person said, okay, all right, I'm not going to sell you these 100 items for $1,000. I'm going to sell you 10 of these items for $100. He said, well, that ain't bad, right? Y'all with me? This is the devil, right? So I'm not going to pay $1,000 for that. So I'm going to buy 10 of them. How many items are there? 100. So if I buy 10 for $100, how many are left? 90. So he said, okay. Well, he said, well, that one too bad. He said, well, why don't you buy 10 more for another $100? Okay, that ain't bad. I ain't spending my $1,000. This is the pilferer. This is how he deceives us. So we buy another 10 for $100. So now we pay $200. And there's how many left? 80. He said, well, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't bad. I only bought 10. So he said, buy 10 more for $100. Then he does it 10 times. And guess what you just did?
$1,000.
You paid $1,000. For the 100 items. Why? Because you were low to sleep. And you didn't realize that you were being set up. So what you resisted in the beginning got you because you were deceived. So when a person is low to sleep, they're in a spiritual, false sense of spiritual security, they are deceived into trusting the wrong person. They are deceived into trusting. That's the only way that you can get deceived. You trust the wrong person. Now let's stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Amen. If we can all that's able to stand, stand. I refuse to be deceived. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Then he said, be not deceived. There's a scripture in the Bible, it's in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil communication means your conduct. Allow yourself to be put in a compromising situation that does not God, that breaks you down spiritually. So be not deceived, evil communication. Well, that's my best friend. Well, what about Jesus? What about God? That's my best friend. Hey, everybody understand. We've been friends. We've been going way back. We're going to go to somebody who went way back. And they went, after they went way back, they went way out. Way out of church. Way out of God's will. To the point that they were spiritually blind and naturally blind. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, verse 1 says, I write this second epistle in hopes that I serve your pure minds, right? So today I desire to serve your, but let's go to verse 2. It says, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. No ideas first. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their. If anybody's all caught up in self, separate them. You don't need nobody that's walking after their own lust, all sensual and devilish. You need to look at somebody and say, you gotta separate. Come on, look at somebody and tell them you gotta separate. You can't be in the wrong company doing the wrong thing. And you following the wrong thing. They're walking in themselves. Right? The Bible says you can't follow that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have the Holy Ghost good time, right? Because the most important thing when I leave today, I want to be able to say, well, I don't care what my body feels like. I don't care what my financial state is. I don't care what I live in. I want to be able to say, well, with my soul. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are. They in fool they what? Willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same, by the he hath not changed. So glory, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The word has not changed. Amen. Said, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of. But beloved, be not ignorant. Thank you, Lord.
God has done.
How many have seen those that God has rewarded for walking in ungodliness? promise. Don't allow the devil to rock you to sleep. Don't allow the devil to keep giving you dipping and dabbing and stuff, and God said, leave it alone. I heard the scripture said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. He says, touch not the unclean thing. God said, I want you to be reserved unto me. I don't want you getting mixed up in stuff that dishonors me. God said, I don't want you following people that dishonor me. If they got a foul mouth, and if they got an ungodly mind, God said, come out from among them and be separate. He said, now when you separate yourself from that, he said, I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Somebody said, I don't feel like God is close to me. What are you in? What are you engaged in? What is your behavior? What things are you dimming and dabbing in, being lulled into a false sense of spiritual security? All asleep and don't even realize. Walking and following the devil because you trust the wrong individual. When you trust someone that's deceiving you, they're lulling you. They're getting you to follow them. You know why? Because they're on their way to hell and they don't want to look by themselves. So what are you going to do? Are you going to make a stand for God, or are you going to just keep going like God hasn't done anything for you? Amen. You ought to be dead and in the grave, but God was good to you anyhow. You ought to be somewhere in a mental institution, or you ought to be in some rehab center, but God was good to you anyhow. Hallelujah. So who are you going to follow? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to believe in? I don't know about you, but that's for me in my house.
You're not guessing the time. We know the time.
We see all that's happening all over the world. These are the last days, and these are perilous times. Knowing the time, then there is high time to
awake.
It's time to get out of that law. The devil has put some of us to sleep spiritually. We just following and doing anything and act like God is going to accept it. The Bible says, God says, be holy because I am
holy.
And follow holiness with all men, for without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So if I sin, I ain't holy. Amen.
That's right. No charge. Then if you sin, you ain't holy.
Because when you sin, you can't get back to the tree of life because God put Adam and Eve out of the garden because of
sin.
He said, lest in their sinful state, they go eat of a tree that's in the midst of the garden and live forever in a sinful state. So because of sin, God separates.
Somebody said, why my life is all messed up? Because God is separating.
Because you're not conforming to his image. Sin will keep you out of heaven. I don't care what anybody says, doctor this and business that and all of this, they're liars. The Bible says, let God be true and everybody else. So who are we believing, right? So it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than what we believe. It's close. Does anybody know when you're going to die?
You know, there's some people that have tried to kill themselves. God said, no, not yet. You ought to be dead. God said, I won't bring you back. Right?
We don't know when we're going to die, but it's appointed unto man. And after that, there will be a judgment. So you can keep playing with God. You can keep toying with God. You can keep acting like God don't see and know all that stuff that's going on, but God says, I see it. And know thou this, O man, for all these things, God said, I will bring you into judgment. And if the righteous, I'm doing all that I can to the best of my ability. He said, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner's going to go somewhere else if the righteous aren't? Yes. Where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Amen. The Bible says, he that is holy, let him be.
The devil can't take my holiness.
He that is righteous, let him be. You got to stay in God. Let him be there still. Look up.
No, I ain't going to let y'all. Somebody might be messing up you next to you. You ask him that, he might get angry. So I ain't going to tell you to ask him that, right? Don't ask me if I'm righteous. You worry about yourself. Well, I'm just wondering today. Between you and God, are you holy? Are you righteous? How does God view you? Right? Because we don't want nobody to get no attitude. We don't believe in attitudes, right? Not in church.
But it's time to awake out of.
You've been lulled to sleep. And you don't even realize the devil's been just leading you around, taking you from place to place, putting stuff in your mind. And he's taking away God little by little. If I was 5 minutes late to church, oh my God, God, please forgive me. You've been too good. Now I can come to church half an hour, so what's the big deal? I'm here. We ain't doing God no favor. Y'all know that? All right, that's right. Y'all, if you didn't know, you know now. We're not doing God a favor. God has done so much for us. God has been so good. How do we think we're doing God a favor? Let me go through these last couple of verses so we can fix. So verse 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Well, why would I want to come out of darkness? Because men love darkness, because their deeds are
evil.
So I got to come out of evil, so I got to put on the light. Amen. You've got to come out of that darkness. Whatever trouble you've been in, whatever you've been in, you got to come out of it. And you got to get into the light. Verse 13 says, let us walk. So I'm trying to get out of darkness. I'm trying to get out of a bad situation.
But I'm dishonest. You
cannot walk in the light. If you're going to be with God, you got to be honest, as in the not in rioting and in drunkenness. I don't know why we keep coming to this drunk stuff, but that's okay. Let's keep going. Not in chambering and walking this, not in strife and envy, but put ye on. You got to put on Jesus. You got to put on Jesus. You got to put him on. And make not. Now he gives us a contrast. You making all your provision for the flesh, and you have not put on Jesus. So when I put on Jesus, I'm not conscious about the fleshly appetites. And I'm not conscious that land of ours and fulfilling the what? Lust. I'm trying to get on Jesus. I want Jesus to be all over me, and I want him to be keeping me alive. So I got to get out of the flesh. The pilferer loves, rocks you to sleep, and all you can think about is your flesh. What satisfies me? What angers me? What makes me mad? Put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. All right. I was supposed to go here. Let's go to Ephesians. We're going to end here in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's end here. Amen. Let's end here, and that'll be good enough. God willing, and Terry, we will continue this on Wednesday night. Y'all, everybody, y'all follow me so far? It's time to get out of us, and it's time to get in God. As long as you're fulfilling your flesh, you have not yet put on, you haven't put on Jesus. Can we say praise the Lord? So it's time as a church and as individuals, I want God to be glorified in all that I say and do. Actually, instead, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I think Colossians brings it out a little clearer. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3 about putting on Jesus. Who wants to put on Jesus? Come on, who wants to put on Jesus? I want to put on Jesus. Amen? So the scripture says, let's start on verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3. Where in the beginning it says, we be risen with Christ, we ought to set our affection on things which are your appetite. Your greatest desire should be first to please God. That should be number one. Your greatest desire should be to please God. Let yourself take a back seat. Amen. Don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. So then let's get down to verse 5. It reads, mortify upon earth fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is? Lust. If you do that, then you're worshiping whatever situation you're in more than God. That is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God? If God's wrath is coming on you, can you go to heaven if he's mad at you? So God said, you got to come out of that if you want to go to heaven. Because if you stay in it, the wrath of God comes upon the children of. You've been disobedient. You cannot get to heaven being disobedient. All Adam and Eve did was disobey God. And God cast them out of the garden, which was symbolic of paradise. So a lot of us want paradise, but we don't want to come out of. You got to come out of it. Amen. Verse 7 said, in which ye also walk sometime when ye live, but now ye also put off. This is some stuff we got to put off. How many know we got to put this off if we want to put Christ on? Amen. Christ don't come on with this. So in order for you to put this on, you got to put this off. What do you want to put off? Anger. Lord help us. Wrath. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Amen. He that soon anger is of a sorrowful, slow spirit. Cast off that wrath. Praise the Lord anyway. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your. We're putting this what? Off. You can't say anything to people if you want to put on Christ. You got to zip it. You got to put some stuff
off.
Can we say put it off?
Lie,
what? I'm trying to put on Christ, but I'm so dishonest. You got to not lie one to another that ye have put off The old man with his, if any man be in Christ, he is a. All things have, and all things have become new. So I put off all that old stuff because I am new. Now the question is, when you look at yourself, are you really new?
Jesus.
Check this, wrath, anger, all that stuff makes you old. If you want to be in Christ, you got to put that off. You got to watch what you say and how you say it. Can we say thank you, Jesus? And have put on, we're trying to put on who? Christ. Christ is a new man. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in. So when I get in Christ, the only thing that matters is Christ. Christ is all in all. I don't care if you're black, if you're white, if you're Japanese, if you're Chinese, if you're whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ. The church world is full of so much spiritual prejudice. We're all
one.
Because in Christ, we are all. Amen. Somebody will tell you different, but that's what the Bible, I just say what the Bible said. Amen. It said, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of, we're putting on Christ. You can't put on Christ if you're not holy. You can't put on Christ if you don't have bowels of mercy. And not meanness, but what? Kind. We're putting on who? And humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another, and somebody said, ouch, right there. No, you got to put up with it. Well, you know what? I'm putting on Christ. I'm not fulfilling the lust of my flesh and doing what I want to do. I'm putting on Christ. So I got to put up with all that mess you've been doing. He says, forbear. Forgive. Now, you know, when you don't put on Christ, we don't forbear and forgive. We keep bringing up and pointing accusations. Everybody with me? I'm going to put on Christ. It says, and if any man have quarrel, there are times you have disagreements. If any man have quarrel against any, what? Even as Christ forgave you, and above put on charity. Charity is agape, unconditional love. It's not what you deserve. It's not what you've done to me. I have charity. So even though you wrong me, I'm going to put on charity. Well, why don't you want to put on charity? Because it's the bond of perfectness. That makes you complete. That makes you what you want to be in Christ when you have charity. Now the question is, are we forbearing and forgiving, or do we always point fingers of accusation? Let us all stand. That's good enough. I think we've gone far enough. I think we understand what it means to put on who? To put on Christ. Let me read a couple more verses as you stand. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in.
One
and be. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In spite of it, still thank you, Jesus. It's hard, it's bad, but thank you, Jesus. I don't like the prognosis or the diagnosis, but still, the Bible said in everything we ought to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can we say hallelujah? He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, whatever you do, however you act, remember you put on Christ. So since I put on Christ, whatever you do, do it in the name
of Jesus.
As the elders and the ministers come forward. You can't put on Christ being lulled into a spiritual fog and a spiritual sense of comfort. It's time for us to just be real. You can't put on Christ if you're dishonest, You can't put on Christ if you're living a lie. How many know a hypocrite can't put on Christ? Because a hypocrite ain't representing the right thing. So you can't walk one way around the saints and another way once you leave. That's not putting on Christ. To put on Christ, we have to walk honestly, truthfully, and we cannot tell lies. As we examine ourselves today, if God were to set up the throne of judgment right now, and if he set a line up in this house, and he brought each one of us by name, when he opens the book, there might be more than one David in here, there might be more than one, whatever. He won't mix us up. So God's going to call you forward, and the book is open. And God's going to say, brother or sister, all these times I tried to get your attention, why did you ignore me? And we're going to say, God, I did not know. God, we're going to say, you did know. Because I was trying to get you out of a bad, sinful situation. But you stayed in it. God said, as much as I love you, and I died for you, depart from me into the everlasting fire. Because you didn't change. God said, I repeatedly reached out, but no man regarded. He said, you disregarded all of my ways. God says, all right, next, enter ye into the joy of the Lord, because you willingly gave him yourself. So God's going to call us all one by one. What answer are we going to answer God for our lives, what we've done? If you make up excuses, you can't make it. But if you say, Lord, I've done the best I can do. When I did mess up, I made it right. God can have it. But the spiritual pilgrim will deceive you into thinking that you're right when you're all the time wrong. Hell yeah, hallelujah.